Good morning, brothers and sisters. Wonderful to see you. So glad to see you here. And for those who are joining with us, of course, online, please stand with us. Well, we've got good news. Amen. Jesus is alive and he's on the throne. Come on, we're going to sing to him this morning. I encourage you just to lay it all out before the Lord this morning in worship. Come on.
Together, worthy is a lamb. is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave.
Singing,
worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave.
Oh, we sing with one voice.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave.
Thank you, Jesus. Let praise be a weapon that silences the enemy. Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We sing your name. We sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. We sing with all we are. We claim your victory. Let it rise. Let praise arise. Let's sing that all together. Let praise be a weapon. Let praise be a weapon that silences the enemy. Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We sing. We sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. We sing with all we are, we claim your victory. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We'll say, we'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation, God, we praise you. Whoa, we praise you. Whoa, let faith be the song that overcomes a raging sea. Let faith be the song that calms the storm inside of me. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lifted high. With all creation crying out, we'll say. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry out, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, come on, lift it up. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. Oh, this is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. For fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation crying, we'll see you. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. For
breakthroughs on our side, forever lift him high, with every waging fight, and we pray. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven. Come on, let's sing it again. This is what living, this is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, we praise you, Lord. Sound of praise, let the sound of praise send the enemy fleeing 7 ways. We'll see, we'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall, and fear cannot survive
when we praise you.
The God of breakthroughs on our side, forever lift him high, with all creation cry.
Amen. 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 Good morning. Well, good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning. It's nice to see you. At least they're responding to you. That's awesome. Well, good morning. Welcome here. We want to welcome all of you on this beautiful January Sunday morning that we've gathered here together to worship God and to praise Him and to experience Him in a powerful, life-changing way. And so whether you're in the building this morning or you're joining us via live stream, we want to welcome you and say we're delighted that you're a part of our service this morning. If this is the first time you've been here or you haven't been here in a very, very long time, we do want to extend a special welcome to you and thank you that you chosen to be here with us this morning. And we would love to be able to come alongside you, know that you are here, support you in any way that we can. And the way we've chosen to do that is to ask you to fill out a card that you'll find in the chair pocket in front of you. You can fill that out. You can put a prayer request on there if you have it. And then take it to the information desk in the foyer. At the end of the service, someone will be there. You can hand that in. There's a small gift there for you. So we're just happy to be able to know that you are here and to support you in any way that we can. Just a quick announcement about next week. We've been announcing for a few weeks that next Sunday we're at lunch. We're going to be sharing lunch together after the service, and we have a chili lunch planned. But we're taking sign-ups. We're not taking money. The cost is a $5 suggested donation. There will be an opportunity for you to make that donation next week when you at that time. If you can't afford that money, that's fine. You don't have to make the donation. But we do need you to sign up. So if you haven't signed up yet, please sign up so we know how many to prepare for. And today is the last day to do that. So please keep that in mind. And then next week, even if you say, well, you know what? I'd love to be a part of it, but you know, I have something after service next week and I have to run. You can actually take it with you if you want. So if you have to do that, but otherwise we'll be here and enjoying our company and time together next week. So please keep that in mind. And if you're wondering, is it going to be really spicy? I'm more of a depth of flavor than hot, spicy food kind of guy. So if you're worried about it being hot, like I'm the guy who goes for the roti and just gets the touch, right? You know what I'm saying? And so that's just it for me. So no, it's not going to be like that. Sorry to disappoint some of you, but you can always add spice, hard to take it out, right? But we want you to be a part of it. For youth, I think you told me they're meeting this Thursday. Yes, that's what I thought. That's what I wrote down here. So youth, just remember you're meeting this coming Thursday. If you have children newborn to age 3, there is a nursery downstairs through these doors, down the stairs on your left. You take your child there at any time and then pick them up at the end of the service. If you have children who are age 4 up to grade 5, they can make their way around through these doors and your leaders will be waiting in the foyer area there to take them downstairs and you can go down there later and pick them up as well. So that's age 4 up to grade 5. We're going to receive our morning tithes and offerings at this time. I'm going to invite our hospitality team to collect. And if you want to give electronically today, you can send your electronic giving to giving@epcoakville.com. Thank you. God bless you. I'm going to hand it back to Jono and the worship team as we continue to worship this morning. God bless you.
Cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me, and I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on the cursed. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance filled by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise, oh Lord, oh Lord our God. The third day at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar, Lord Christ again.
Come on, let's all stand together. Lift your voice, oh praise.
And oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise, oh Lord, oh Lord our God.
Oh, praise his name,
oh praise. In robes of white, the blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
Come on, lift your voice, oh, praise the name.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. And oh, praise his name forevermore.
For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh Lord,
can we sing it one more time? Lift it to the heavens. Oh,
praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh Lord our God.
Thank you, Jesus.
They say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will never break. But they don't know you like we do. 'Cause there is power in your name. We've heard that there is no way. We've heard the tide will never change. They haven't seen what you can do. 'Cause there is power in your name.
So much power.
So much power in your name.
Move the immovable.
Move the immovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe for it.
Hope is never lost.
We know that hope is never lost.
Amen.
For there is still an empty grave.
Hey.
God, we believe no matter what.
There is power.
There is power in your name.
So much.
So much power.
Say, you are the way where there We trust in you, God, you have the final say.
Come on, you are the way.
You are the way, where there seems to be no way. We trust in you, God, you have the final say. You are the way, where there seems to be no way. We trust in you.
Have you come to the end of yourself?
Do you thirst for a drink from the well? 'Cause Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
The precious blood of Jesus. Jesus Christ.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. Thank you, Jesus, that you welcome all to come and draw near to you. We thank you for your precious sacrifice. We thank you that your blood cleanses us and washes us clean of all filthiness. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is found in John chapter 14, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Jono. Thank you, worship team, for leading us so beautifully this morning. It never gets old being able to walk into a room with people you share like faith with and worship and experience the presence of God together. A common sight about 20 years ago that you never see anymore is a pet store located inside a mall that sells, amongst other pets, puppies and kittens. Now, many Canadian cities began banning this practice around 2010, and rightfully so. The puppies and kittens were usually located in cages stacked along the exterior glass wall of the store so that mall patrons could come and see them as they pass by, with the intention, of course, of drawing them over for an irresistible purchase. If you looked them in the eye, you were done. You're going home with a pet. It was a common sight to see crowds gathered at the windows looking at these little bundles of joy. Our first dog came from a mall pet store, and at that time, that's what most people did, and so that's just what everybody did. Jennifer was unusually late getting home from a meeting one night, and when I inquired why she was out so late, she had told me that she had gone by the mall to visit a puppy that she had been visiting for a few days now. And she had a look in her eyes. You know, when you've been married for a while, there's a variety of looks, right? There's a look that you're really in trouble. You get the look that is like really good. Rare look, but really good. And then there's that look of something's going to happen and you have no control over what it's going to be. That was the look. And within a few days, Molly joined our family. Now, Molly was an adorable little beagle puppy whose behavior was great as long as we were around giving her attention. But it was a different story when we went out. One day we returned to shoes chewed up. Another day it was the couch that got chewed up. We decided to put her in a crate. So when we went out, that would stop the chewing. And we brought this beautiful, nice, heavy plastic crate with the metal prison door. And we put her in it, and when we opened the door, we returned to find Molly greeting us at the door. She had chewed a hole in the side of the plastic crate and had gotten out. So in response to that, we upgraded to a full metal cage with a hard plastic liner on the floor, and we returned to find Molly still inside the crate, which was good news, but she had chewed up the liner in the bottom and had completely destroyed the carpet underneath. So we didn't really know what to do. We didn't know what was going on. So we reached out to our vet for some advice, and he told us that Molly suffered from separation anxiety, which meant she struggled with a sense of abandonment that caused her to act out when she was left alone, and suggested that we put her on some medication to calm her down. Now, I believe that separation anxiety, anxiety that's created when we feel abandoned, when we feel alone, when we feel like we've been left behind, is something that, well, most of us struggle with at some point and on occasion. And for most likely, most of us don't chew shoes or couches or carpet. If you do, there is special help for that. And speak to us after the service. We don't respond that way, but there are common symptoms of separation anxiety within humans, like loneliness, difficulty sleeping, difficulty concentrating, panic attacks, nightmares, even physical symptoms that develop as a result of the anxiety of being left alone or behind or when people leave. Dealing with a sense of abandonment can take a real toll on us. And so last week we launched our winter sermon series entitled Before I Go. And it's based on what is known as the farewell discourse of Jesus, found in the Gospel of John, chapters 14 to 17. These chapters record the final teaching of Jesus to his disciples before his death on the cross. And as we said last week, a person's final words to the people they love are often important words. They're not wasted words. They're very intentional, important words. And Jesus' final words are no different. They're very important. They're very intentional. And so today we're considering John 14, 1 to 4, a passage that reveals the struggle that Jesus' followers had with processing his announcement that he's leaving and they're not able to come with him. And as we consider this passage today, we are going to be reminded that when we experience fear and anxiety, Jesus calms us by calling us back to trusting in our relationship with him. Now, last week we focused on John chapter 13, sort of the setup for this farewell discourse. We specifically looked at Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And during that event, there are three things mentioned that Jesus that caused great anxiety and confusion for the disciples. They're told that one of them is going to betray Jesus. And we know at that time, even though they're not all cluing in at that time, that that's Judas. Jesus tells them that one of them is going to deny him, and he's very clear on who's that's going to be. He tells Peter straight out, "You are going to deny me." But the announcement that carried the greatest impact was Jesus telling them that he was leaving them, and they couldn't come with him, but would follow later. Many times Jesus tried to tell them that he was leaving, that he would be leaving, that leaving was a part of the plan. But they've not been able to grasp it. They had their own ideas of how these things should go, how things should conclude, what should happen next. And they don't like the idea, and they can't grasp this idea that his leaving is important. And so then in this next passage, Jesus elaborates on the announcement that he's made, the announcement that he's leaving, and they can't come with him. So let's take a look at it. The first thing we see here is that Jesus is going away. Verses 1 and 2 of the 7 we read this morning cover this. Chapter 14 begins with Jesus speaking to their anxiety, speaking to their fears, their confusion, their sense of abandonment that came with the announcement in chapter 13 of his departure. And he tells them, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." In other words, don't worry. Don't worry. Now, at first glance, when you read this, it seems like a really shallow response, that Jesus is somehow not validating the significance of their feelings, that Jesus is not validating their fears. But as he continues speaking, you see that this isn't the case at all. He said this to them. He says, you trust in God? Well, trust also in me. You got to trust me too. Every first century Jew knew that they were expected to put their trust in God. Their faith as a nation was rooted in the fact that God could be and God should be trusted. So it was a part of their whole belief system, trusting in God. He said, if you trust in God, well then trust in me. In this passage, Jesus is linking himself directly to the Father. If Jesus is the Son of God, and they've admitted that to him, he's the Messiah, he's the Son of God, then they should trust him just as they would God the Father. Now, Jesus leaving is not just a random act. He's leaving has a purpose to it. And the purpose he shares with them, he's going to prepare a place for them. If they are going to follow him in the future, if they are going to spend eternity with him, he needs to do the necessary work to make that possible. And so he tells them, in my Father's house, there are many rooms, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you. In biblical times, when a son especially got married, because if the daughter got married, she usually went with the groom's family. But when a son got married in this culture, a dwelling space for the new couple would be added to the existing family home. Rooms would be added on for this newly formed family to move into and establish a life. The word translated room here, and I'm not going to get into it all, mansions and the misinterpretation and all the things that have come from that. The word room here means dwelling. It means a place to live. The word room here means to make a home with. And so what Jesus is telling them is that his leaving has a purpose. And the purpose is to make it possible for his followers to be with him for eternity, to dwell with him forever, to be where he is. That's what he's preparing. And so Jesus' reference to preparing here is not as much about a place. Sometimes we get fixated on the details of the place. He's not really talking about a place as he is talking about the work that he must do to make eternally dwelling with him possible. That's the preparing, the work that he has to do. Going away to preparing a place is the equivalent of saying his death on the cross and his resurrection. That's preparing the place. That's the preparation that is necessary for them to be eternally with him. And so when you think of preparing a place, you need to understand that every cut of the whip he was preparing, with every whack of the rod, with every wad of spit that fell on his face, with every thorn that pierced his brow, with every drop of blood that flowed down, with every nail that penetrated his flesh, with every wound from the spear, with his last breath on Friday and his first breath on Sunday, he was preparing the opportunity, the possibility of eternity with him. His leaving, his perceived abandonment by those who were his followers had a purpose that only he could fulfill. They couldn't be involved in this part. They couldn't be a part of this right now. Even though Peter said, I'll die with you, Jesus. No, Peter, you don't understand. You can't be a part of this. You will benefit later and you will suffer later, but you can't be a part of this. Only I can prepare the place for you. Now, I'm sure that many of us experience seasons in our lives, and perhaps some of us might be right in that season right now. A season when it feels like Jesus has abandoned us. He doesn't feel close anymore. A season where our suffering continues, but despite how much we pray and how hard we pray, there seems to be no intervention, no help. Our prayers seem like they're not getting through somehow. We feel weary and alone and afraid, abandoned. But this passage reminds us of something really, really important, especially in times when we're feeling abandoned by God. In moments when we perceive that Jesus has abandoned us, these are often the very moments that he is doing the greatest work on our behalf. I want to say that again. In the moments when we perceive that Jesus has abandoned us, these are often the very moments that he is doing his greatest work on our behalf. The disciples were overwhelmed with their fear and their sense of abandonment, while at the same time, Jesus is preparing the possibility of eternal salvation for them. They felt abandoned, but he was doing the greatest work he could ever do for them. So like the disciples, what do we do? What do we do when it feels like God has abandoned us, when it feels like our prayers aren't getting through, and it seems like nothing ever gets answered? Well, like the disciples, we have to do what Jesus has asked us to do. We trust him. We trust him. And we keep on trusting him. Jesus is going away. The second thing he shares is Jesus is coming back. Verse 3. Jesus didn't just say that he was leaving, he said that he was coming back. Not only is he coming back, but he's coming back, he said, so that you can be where I am. Now, some might argue that this statement, that he's coming back so they can be where he is a reference to the resurrection. That his death is preparing the possibility of eternity with him, and the resurrection is his coming back. And in some ways, you know, there's reasons why that could make sense. However, this line of interpretation really breaks down with the phrase, take you with me, because there's nowhere in the scripture that shows that after Jesus was raised from the dead, that the disciples went with him into heaven. In fact, we see the opposite. He went into heaven and they stayed behind to continue his work at that time. And so this has to be interpreted as a reference to the second coming of Jesus. The second coming of Jesus that will mark the end of time as we know it. In Acts chapter 1, verse 9, we can read there about Jesus ascending into heaven. And then in verses 10 and 11, this is what we read. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. The second coming of Jesus is the supreme hope of the church. It's the supreme hope of the church. It is the goal of every Christ follower is to spend eternity with Jesus. And I believe that Jesus is coming back, and I pray it soon. I'd like it to happen before retirement because I really don't think I'm prepared. So that would be really good. The events in our world seem to suggest that it could be soon, and perhaps it could be. But then we've read through history many times when people have seen things and have felt the same. We don't know. But whenever it is, the point is, we believe that it will be sudden and that none of us will know the day and the hour of his return. And why is that? Because that's what he said. He said that. You're not going to know. You can decode scripture. You can think you got it figured out. You can make prophetic utterances all you want to. Jesus said himself, you're not going to know. It is not for you to know. He said that. And I believe we should be watching and ready for his return, because again, that's what he asked us to do. That's what he asked us to do. And I believe that watching and being ready is not idly sitting by like we're at a train station with our suitcase, and you know, we've locked down the core theological truths and we're just sitting there waiting for it to be over. That's not what watching and waiting is. It's living in obedience to doing Jesus' work. Working while there is opportunity. Jesus said, work while it's day, because the time will come when you can't do the work anymore. So we watch and we wait in obedience. I believe that when he comes, the trumpet will announce his arrival. I believe that when he comes, the dead are going to be raised. I believe when he comes that those who are still living will rise to welcome him to this earth where he will establish his final kingdom. And I believe these things because the Bible clearly teaches them. I believe that sin and evil will be abolished, that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. I believe these things because that's what Scripture teaches. And while this is the supreme hope of the church, it's also our personal supreme hope as followers of Jesus. And so while Jesus' work on the cross is for everyone, it's for the whole world, it's for the whosoever will, it's very personal and it's very individual. Jesus said to them, I'm preparing a place for you. I'm preparing a place for you. I will come back to take you with me, that you may also be where I am. It's personal. It's individual. Jesus' work on the cross provides the opportunity for us to believe in him and for us to personally know that he's coming for us, that where he is, we will be there too. Thirdly, Jesus is the way. Interestingly, out of these seven verses, the last section covers the most of the text. After telling them that he will return and take them to be with him, he states, you know the way to the place where I'm going. You know the way. The way for Jesus is shame and crucifixion, yet glory and resurrection. The way for Jesus is the cross. He will be lifted up. He will be betrayed. He will die, but he will rise again. The way for Jesus is the cross. Now, Thomas needs clarity, and so he responds to Jesus, well, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? We have no idea where you're going. So how do we know how to get there? We don't know the way. Well, the way of Jesus is the cross, but the way of the disciples is Jesus. The way of Jesus is the cross, but the way of his disciples is Jesus. He said, I'm the way. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except they come through me. Followers of Jesus in the book of Acts were often referred to as followers of the way. In Acts chapter 9, verse 2, we're told that Saul went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to what? The way. Whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. In Acts 22, 4, when Saul is now Paul, he's had his conversion experience, he's had an experience with Jesus, he's a changed man, and he's sharing his testimony of who he used to be compared to who he is today. And this is what he says, I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. When testifying before Felix in 24:14, he said, I admit that I worship the God of our ancestors, but you need to know I do it as a follower of the way. As a follower of the way. Jesus is the way. Jesus declared that he's not only the way, he's the truth. Not just that he spoke truth, but that he is the truth. In John 1:14, the Word, God, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:17 says, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." The law through Moses provided a glimpse of God, but Jesus was God revealed, God unveiled, God exposed to all mankind. Now, Jesus also declared that in addition to being the way and the truth, he's also the life. What a beautiful paradox this is. What a beautiful paradox. The one who died is life. The one who died is life. Why is that? Because his death gives true life to those who believe in him. The Lamb died so the world could live. The Good Shepherd laid down his life so the sheep could live. Jesus then ends this declaration with words that make many people uncomfortable, no doubt. He said without apology, because he's the way, because he's the truth, because he's life, he said, no one comes to the Father except they come through me. We live in a world that where there are many different spiritual beliefs represented. And the trend sometimes is to believe that all paths lead to the same place. They all lead to God. And while we share common paths with many, often that is not the case. And to dare suggest that there is only one way to God, well, that invites ridicule and the opinion that followers of the way, followers of Jesus, well, they're arrogant, even prejudiced. Now, I want to say personally, I have a deep respect and appreciation for the belief of other people. I have a deep respect and appreciation for other religious beliefs. I respect that, and I appreciate beliefs. But I want you to know that to my core, I personally believe the words of Jesus, that he is the only way. That the cross of Jesus provided the only way possible to the Father. That's why he's the way. And I have centered my life on believing the words of Jesus. My whole life is oriented around the truth that I believe that he is the way. And we live in a time when there's a lot of debate with what is truth, and is there any such thing as absolute truth, and or is truth relative? That each person should decide what is truth for themselves. But as followers of Jesus, sometimes we center truth on a set of beliefs. These are the doctrines. These are the theological beliefs that we hold. That is the truth. But we need to get back to the fact that as a follower of Jesus, we choose to believe the words of Jesus, that he is the truth. He is the truth. Jesus is the truth. We live in a time when true life is defined in a lot of different ways. Possessions, that's the good life, that's the real life, that's life to the ultimate. Possessions, experiences, materialism, focusing on the right here, the right now, having all of these things, that's life. And in getting caught up in this type of priority, we often lose sight of the fact that life extends beyond the here and now, that this is not all there is. That life is eternal, and only Jesus, by way of the cross, can offer life like that to us. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is life. And no one can come to the Father except they come through him. I have staked my life on these statements of Jesus because he said them. He said them. As Peter reiterates this teaching of Jesus in his very first sermon in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, following the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, he goes into some different sermons, and then later, so I don't think this is his first sermon actually, but his sermon's a long one, so maybe it all carries all the way to chapter 4. think I'm long-winded. You should just listen to Peter's sermon sometimes. He declares with confidence, and I don't have people falling out the window and dying because they fell asleep during my sermon like Paul, so got a couple of things up there. But Peter declares with confidence, and he makes a very powerful statement in the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 12. He says, salvation is found in no one else. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. His name is the only name, because he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. I'm going to invite our worship team to come back. Folks, in moments when we perceive that Jesus has abandoned us, we're reminded, and you don't have to be ashamed to admit that, because I'm sure we have all felt that at times. God, where are you? When we perceive that Jesus has abandoned us, and we're reminded in this text that these moments are often the very moments that he's doing his greatest work. He's working for us. He's working for others. So don't give up. Keep trusting in him. Jesus' work on the cross provides the opportunity for us to believe in him, but also for us to personally know that he's coming back for us so that we'll be with him there too. That's our hope. That's our hope. And despite what others say, we listen to the very words of Jesus, that he, Jesus, is the way, that he, Jesus, is the truth, that he is the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. When we experience fear and anxiety, Jesus calms us by calling us back to trusting in our relationship with him, a relationship that's rooted in him being the way, the truth, and the life. Would you stand with us this morning as our worship team leads us? And as we do this morning, as the Holy Spirit prompts your heart this morning, perhaps you're here and you've not decided before that you want to follow Jesus, that you need to follow Jesus. And in these moments of worship and in these moments of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts this morning, we too can recognize, all of us, that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and experience that salvation that's found in none other, no other name, but the name of Jesus. Worship team, would you lead us this morning?
All my days, I will love God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Forever.
We bring our service to conclusion this morning. We say, we love you, Jesus. We love you. And we thank you for being the way. We thank you for all that you did to prepare the opportunity and the possibility of us to spend eternity with you, to have relationship with you, to walk with you and to follow you, to live for you, to die for you. Father, this morning we thank you that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and he has shown us the way to you. And Lord, I pray today that in the moments when some of us may feel, as we often do, where a lot of life just doesn't make sense, we don't understand why things are happening that are happening, or why things are not happening that we wish would happen, and it seems like that you've exited, that you've gone off somewhere, that you've disengaged from our lives and our emotions and our concerns, and we don't know what to do. The times when our prayers seem to go unanswered, and Lord, it's in those moments I pray that you would help us to learn to trust you, that you are always working, that even when we can't see it, when we can't identify it, you are working. You're doing great things. And I pray that you would bring comfort to our hearts in that. And Father, I pray that you would help us to live each day with the hope in our lives that, Lord, that someday we're going to see you again. And I pray, God, that that would impact how we live and how we love and how we serve, and how we use the time that we've been allotted in this life to bring honor and glory and praise to you, God. And Father, today I pray that you continue to help us to point others, others who need you, Jesus, to you. Help us, Holy Spirit, to do that work. And Father, today for those who may be here who are unwell, those who are here who may be struggling or have challenges before them, their situations may seem hopeless. I pray today between the songs that we've sung and the words that we've spoken, and more importantly, the work of your Spirit in this room and in our lives would encourage us to find hope and to keep our trust in you. I pray for those who aren't able to be here today, Lord, maybe they're watching online and maybe they're not, but they need your touch and your strength today. I pray that you would touch them and minister to them and help them. And Father, as we leave this place today, may we be people who are followers of the way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Have a great week. If Jesus doesn't come back before next week, we'll see you next week. Otherwise, some of you I'll see before then.